Our second reading comes from the Gospel of John. John often claimed himself to be the one disciple whom Jesus loved, though I think he loved all of them. But we listen to the Word of God as it comes to us from chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, "As the Father loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. For this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. But you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. For I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Several years ago, Ken Burns was doing research for a PBS series on the Civil War, and he received a letter that had been written by a Rhode Island soldier to his wife, Sarah. The author was Sullivan Bailu. And he had a premonition of his own death. And he wrote this letter to his wife from the battlefield. And he writes, "The indications are very strong that we shall move in a few days, perhaps tomorrow. I feel impelled to write a few lines that may fall under your eyes when I shall be no more. Sarah, my love for you is deathless. It seems to bind me with mighty cables that nothing but omnipotence could break. I feel most gratified to God and to you that I have enjoyed them for so long. And hard it is for me to give them up and burn to ashes the hopes of future years when, God willing, we may still have lived and loved together and seen our sons grow up to be honorable manhood around us. If I do not return, my dear Sarah, never forget how much I love you. And when my last breath escapes me on the battlefield, it will whisper your name." I think dying words are in a league of their own. It's not like those last words we sometimes give to our children to be careful when they walk to school for the first time alone, or driving the car for the first time, or maybe heading off to college. I'm guessing that in the very last words we utter would be a kind of heartfelt, "I love you." And maybe a request to take care of your brother or sister, or take care of you as you live out your life. Now, in John's Gospel, chapters 13 through 17 are some of Jesus' last words to his disciples as he prepares them for that major transition that will occur, where he will die and they will carry on his ministry. In contrast, or in that context, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, So I love you, and so you should love one another. What is it? What is it that really matters when all else, including life itself, is said and done? What is the most compelling life force? What are we prepared both for living and dying? Becomes an echoing refrain. I think love. Love, not the normal, what do I get out of it kind of love, but here Jesus is really commending to his followers what we call agape love. The unconditional, the self-sacrificing kind of love that only Jesus exemplifies. And how does one measure such love? He says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Yes. Last words matter. Last words are always very precious. Of all that Jesus might have said, he chooses love and relationship, and he chooses us, you see, in love, that we may go out to be love. A commandment to love others as God has chosen to love us. Well, Sullivan Ballou was killed 7 days after he wrote that letter at the first battle of Bull Run. When my last breath escapes, it will whisper your name, Sarah. Shortly after Jesus shared his parting words, he too was crucified. His last breath on the cross and his first breath in the resurrection, whispering your name, whispering your forgiveness. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. You see, it is your name he whispers before you're formed in your mother's womb or in the waters of baptism or around the altar or in the Word, in the fellowship of God's people. It's your name. It's your name, no matter how far you may have wandered, that if you pause to listen, you will always hear, listen, listen, my child, I love you. And your only job is to share that love with all of my children. What a radical concept that is, isn't it? To share that love. Can you imagine all of the walls that would get knocked down and all the divisions that would be mended and all of the strife and impediments overcome, all for the glory of God? Can you imagine the joy in God's heart because finally the people of God got it all together to really care for one another? And as you see, in that spirit of love, in that spirit of love, can you imagine what all of God's people could really do together? No more hate groups. No more walls. No more divisions. No more separations between people. You see, there is that spirit of love and of loving one another. It's a love that's needed in our churches. It's a love that's needed in our world today. May it be ours, Lord. May it be ours. And may all of God's people respond by saying, Amen.